Get me for free. Courtesy of Yelp for Restaurant. Tools and tactics are what's going to make you successful in 2024. Yelp for Restaurants has the tools you need to scale your restaurant this year, and I'm here to help. Sign up for a consultation with Yelp Guest Manager and get a free one-hour coaching session with me. In our session, we'll dive deep into your restaurant and build the blueprint to overcome your current obstacles and scale your profitability. You can sign up for both free sessions by simply going to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp today. I'll see you soon. Now here we go.
There should be a better recognition of the consumer, of the value that we're delivering. And I think as an industry, we need to do a better job of collectively conveying the value that we're providing.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. We all look to brands in our industry that have been massively successful out the gate for inspiration. But there's much more to learn from the brands that have been forced to turn things around. Today we chat with Jeff Drake, the CEO of Protein Bar & Kitchen. Jeff was brought in to turn around this decade-old brand and has done so beautifully. We sit down to discuss who and what needs to be adjusted to change the perception of a restaurant brand.
I went to college and graduated with college with no intention of getting into the restaurant industry. My degree is in chemistry. I got into the restaurant business by accident. I was intending to go back to school to continue my education, decided to take a year off, needed to find a job, and ended up being the world's worst waiter for a month. Basically got thrown into the deep end of the pool. I showed up for my first day of work and I was all set for training. And they said, great, this is your station. If you have any questions, ask Tracy. And I was literally the world's worst waiter for about 4 weeks, but figured it out and fell in love with the business and fell in love with hospitality and food and the energy and all of it, and made the decision not to go back to school. And sort of through a journey of working for some great companies, Lettuce Entertainment here in Chicago, Brinker International, based in Dallas. I did something entrepreneurial myself with a couple of friends that I worked with at Lettuce and Brinker. Worked for a large company out of France for a period of time where I was based in Chicago, traveled a lot all over North America, to the point where I landed and had the opportunity to meet with the L. Catterton, which is the private equity firm that owns Protein Bar. I was really excited to get off of airplanes, was traveling 3 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and got to know the brand and sort of the story behind it, and ended up at Protein Bar. My process of getting to Protein Bar and sort of thinking about joining the company, I spent a lot of time sort of soul searching and thinking about it. I tell the story that when I was interviewing for the position and doing my diligence on it, I went to downtown Chicago and stood outside a couple of restaurants, a couple of protein bars, and just asked people as they were coming out if I should go in there and have lunch. And that was really, really illuminating, got me to really get excited about the opportunity, because I had some people tell me, it's fine, everything tastes the same, but it's fine. But I also had a few people say, oh my gosh, you've never been here before? Come on. And they literally, leaving the restaurant, grabbed me, took me back inside the restaurant, explained how the concept worked, and introduced me to the staff. I'm like, wow, this place is amazing. It's got these super fans, which is what we call those folks, as well as people who are coming here in spite of maybe the culinary experience not being great. I saw it as a great opportunity to lean into those super fans, as well as an opportunity to elevate the culinary experience of Protein Bar. So when I joined in 2017, I spent the first couple of months just getting to know everyone, but we really leaned in and got after the food. So again, my journey through the business has sort of been accidental to the beginning and the very purposeful, if you will,
to the point where now I have the opportunity to run this great company.
And what was your vision going into it? And we can do like a before and then after in terms of vision. How did you see Protein Bar? What were the strong qualities that you saw? And then where did you see room for improvement?
So the strengths of Protein Bar was sort of the origin of it. When it was founded in 2009, the founder, Matt Matros, really saw a space in fast casual that didn't exist, which is now called Better For You. And when Matt opened Protein Bar and Kitchen, the only thing that he sold were protein shakes. It was the idea was you come into the bar, get your protein shake, and go. He quickly realized he couldn't pay his rent just selling shakes, so he put quinoa on the menu in 2010. And it's funny, when he put quinoa on the menu, people literally didn't know what it was or how to say it. It was like that funny progressive ad where the guys are yelling Joaquin at the dry erase board, right? So it was like one of the first, if not the first, Better For You restaurant, fast casual restaurant in the space. So it was an early adopter of this attitude of being really transparent with ingredients, with nutritionals and all of those things. For a variety of reasons, they allowed other folks into their sandbox in the Better For You space. They sort of lost that cutting edge and the understanding that not only does it need to be better for you, but it needs to be delicious. And so I saw this opportunity to come into this brand that had this incredible loyal following, a really authentic story that just needed some love and some attention and some focus on being really good at the restaurant business, playing the game better and elevating the culinary experience and the hospitality experience, making sure that the team was aligned and all of those things. So I looked at this brand that had this great history, this great story, as well as tremendous amount of opportunity in front of it to sort of elevate sort of the experience for the employees, for the team members, as well as for the guests. So both of those things sort of excited me about jumping in and getting after it here.
Well, and it's interesting because when you work for a venture-backed company or a private equity company, it's always about growth, right? You got to grow, 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 grow. You spent years not growing by intention, which I'm sure led to many difficult conversations, but you needed that time to rework the brand from the ground up. And so how did you, as the leader, reconcile any pressure that you felt to perform with what you knew in your heart needed to be done? Because I think for anyone, whether you're talking about like a single unit, independent operator, or someone in a position like yours, that's the rub, right? That is where great brands, great businesses are made or lost, depending on how true you can stay to your vision while dealing with these external pressures.
I mean, I think you just have to level set expectations with every key stakeholder in the organization, from the team members running the restaurants to the general managers, as well as to the board of directors. And so I spent my first 90 days, I had a 30, 60, 90 day plan coming into this organization. And I was really transparent about what that plan was going to look like when I went into the job. At my first board meeting, 90 days in, I basically gave a state of the union, right? And I realized where the company was at that time in March of 2020 or 2017, we didn't have the privilege, or we hadn't earned the right, if you will, to grow. You have capital and you want to deploy the capital. But if the business and the business model in the middle of the P&L and the way you're executing doesn't justify that, you're foolish to deploy that capital. I was very intentional about not doing any sort of progressive or assertive marketing around this concept for the first 9 months that we were here as a team, because we had a lot of work to do on elevating the culinary experience that I talked about, elevating sort of making sure that the people on the team were completely aligned. I found the business to be in a place where people really didn't understand why decisions were being made and why we were doing the types of things we were doing. And so it was a lot of work to make sure that the board, as all the way through the organization, was aligned on what we needed to do to get back to a place where we could turn growth back on. And so everyone got aligned. I think that we put a plan together and we talked about what we were going to do, and we got buy-in throughout the organization about these are the things we're going to work on. And so it really wasn't difficult to get that buy-in because everyone could see the numbers, everyone could see the results, everyone could sort of see where we were. We were fortunate though, Josh, in that we did a lot of work in 17. 2018 was the best year this company ever had. So in the ninth year of operation, we had a really strong performance from top line sales, and the middle of the P&L really began to tell a story that, hey, this concept, is something that deserves to grow, and we should start thinking about growth, which is when we pivoted into 19 and really started to turn those levers to start doing those types of things. Unfortunately, just as we were getting ready to go, we had the interruption of March of 2020. But we did a lot of work in 18 and 19 to get ready to start growing through. For me, when I first joined the company, we talked about we were going to grow corporate locations, but this brand was set up to grow not only through corporate growth, but also through licensing, airports, college campuses, healthcare, as well. It was a brand that was set up. Once we got it ready, we could start franchising it. So we had done all of that work in 17, had a great year in 18, turned and started working on all of those initiatives in 19. We signed some leases, got ready to grow in 2020. And then we had to hit the proverbial pause button on everything and just sort of survive the storm that was 2020.
I got to tell you, growth that significant in a year, especially in your first year, and in what less kind people would call a stale brand, is exceptional. Exceptional that you were able to turn things around so quickly. What were those levers?
It certainly wasn't me. I mean, I had the voice, but there were a lot of really super talented people in this organization. One of the strengths of Protein Bar is that if you look at the tenure of our organization, the average tenure of a manager at this company is 6 years.
Wow.
Right? The average tenure of the people in the store support center is 9 years. I've been with the company for 7 and I'm one of the new guys, right? So we had some really passionate, true believers inside this organization that were just waiting for the opportunity to be given sort of the direction and feel connected together so that we could go and execute against those types of things. And you know this, you've been in the restaurant business. It all comes back to the people, right? Since we're talking to restaurant people, the joke inside the restaurant business is that it'd be a fantastic business if it didn't have employees or customers, right? So it all gets back, and I'm joking, right? I mean, we love our team members, and I'm in this because of the hospitality making people feel good. But the huge resource that we had is we had a lot of great people in this organization that just really needed to be set in the right direction, put on the right seat of the bus, if you will, and let them go. We broke our plan down into parts, right? The first thing that we had to get after was our culinary experience. We basically went back and we worked on the foundational things of the menu. We made our chicken better. We made our quinoa better. We made our black beans better. We made our eggs better. And we weren't communicating this to the guests because we weren't going to do the Domino's thing to say, hey, our pizza's terrible. But we knew that we needed to make those parts of the business better so that would come through throughout the flavor. And then we could really start to innovate on the menu, if you will. So I think back to your original question, identifying those stars on the team, putting them in the right place, letting them go, giving them the mission, the vision of what we wanted to do, and let them go and run with it.
Were there any key hires?
Yeah, there was one in particular. So at my core, I'm a restaurant operator guy, right? I like to think I'm pretty entrepreneurial. I'm someone who likes to do things and try things and get after things. I knew that I needed a business partner in this organization that was a little bit more pragmatic and strategic. And in that board meeting in March of 2017, I told the board that, hey, in this org chart, I need to have someone who has a background in consulting, who has a background, who has an MBA from Booth. I got my MBA from the School of Hard Knocks in the restaurant business, right? So I needed to have someone that was more process-oriented, more strategic-oriented, that could sort of balance all the things we needed to do with a really strong strategic plan. And so Jared Kung joined the company in June of 2017. He was at the McDonald's. He was at McDonald's. He was part of the strat team at McDonald's. Before that, he had worked for a large consulting firm. He got his MBA from Booth. And he actually reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, hey, I see you're the new CEO of Protein Bar. I love the brand. I'd love to talk. And I was like looking at his LinkedIn profile. I'm like, God, this is the guy I was just talking about at the board meeting. And so we met, we had lunch, and one thing led to another. And so Jared took the leap of faith and joined the organization in June of 2017. And he really has worked. I mean, there's the leadership team, all of them provide a lot of value, but most of them were already in place. Jared was that one key hire that sort of came in that was added to the team and additive in a way that sort of balanced my desire to try a lot of things and to have activity with let's be strategic, let's really measure results, let's make sure that all those things are worthwhile.
The last question that I have for you kind of regarding the overall turnaround is positioning. So when Protein Bar started, the world was one way. And then by the time you came in, there was Sweetgreen and Tender Greens and Mendocino Farms and Everbowl, and the competitive landscape had just really blossomed during that time. And so
it did.
Instead of niching into what everyone else had adopted, you had to differentiate yourself, I'm sure. And so what was that segment you decided to go after?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, when we looked out there and we were going through the rebrand and sort of elevating the dining rooms and looking at the store, you know, we added Ann Kitchen to our name to better convey that there was a culinary experience around it, right? So it's Protein Bar and Kitchen. And when we looked at the sort of the look and the feel, if you will, of Better For You, we saw a lot of reclaimed wood. We saw a lot of green. We saw a lot of words like organic or locally sourced and those types of things. And all of those things are important to us, but we clearly wanted to be different than everybody else. And so as we looked at Protein Bar and Kitchen and we talked about what do we want people to think of Protein Bar and Kitchen, we wanted to sort of embrace a lifestyle brand. We are a brand that's part of people's lives. We are a huge believer that everyone wants to be a little better. They want to be a better athlete. They want to feel better about themselves. They want to be just a better trainer. Everyone is on a journey that embraces Protein Bar of wanting to be a little bit better in whatever part of their life that may mean. And so when someone comes in to Protein Bar, we want them to feel that energy of a brand that is sort of, it almost has a feeling of studio fitness a little bit, if you will. And so Protein is Power is a big graphic in our restaurants. We leaned into the name. We embrace that. It doesn't matter what diet you're on. Protein is a key component of that, be it vegan, vegetarian, paleo, keto, all of those diets rely on a source of protein. And so we embraced our name and we embraced that positioning that we are your source for protein, no matter how you want to live your lives.
People love change, said no one ever.
Right.
Right. Especially our customers, especially our teams. And this was a period of great change. Your first few years there was just a period of great change. And look, I think that everyone loves improvement, right? But you prove improvement over time. And until you do, it's just, it's the change. It's this, the will of this guy, Jeff, who's an outsider that doesn't know anything about our business and he's going to ruin everything. And I like that salad the way it was and all of these things. So communication is key. I mean, as a leader generally, but especially during a period of great change, how did you educate and communicate and engage with like line level Protein Bar employees to make sure that they felt like they were part of that change?
Yeah, it's so important when you're coming into this type of situation and you're going to be on that journey is that everyone in the organization feels seen and heard and valued, right? Protein Bar was a small company, so there was no excuse for everyone in the organization not to have had some sort of interaction with me on a relatively regular basis. You got to show up. You got to be present. And you get some of your best ideas in this business from the folks who are doing the business every day inside the restaurant. So investing that time and listening to them and seeking out and getting information from them about the business and how people are reacting to it and how they feel about it is so critical in making sure that people feel as if you're an approachable person. When I come into a Protein Bar, everybody knows that Jeff is here and that I make a point of interacting with every employee, every team member that's in that restaurant. I don't pop in and pop out. I pop in and I engage. You may just be, hey, how are you today? How are things? How's business? How's the family? Whatever it may be. But making sure that you're taking that time, that brief moment of time to interact with the individuals on your team makes them feel part of the larger organization and part of what we're trying to do. And again, to your point, Josh, over communicating and making sure that everyone clearly understands where we are and where we want to go and giving them the opportunity to ask questions about why are we making these changes? What is the reason behind it? As a leader, you better be prepared for that, be able to answer that question in a way that makes sense to them and that they get to a place where they're buying in as well.
And I'm sure accountability played a role in that as well. People get very used to doing the same thing, the same way, every time. And they have different ideas. I was on a consulting gig recently. It was an onsite, which I almost never do. And this particular concept, everybody had different ideas on how the restaurant should operate. Even the busser. The busser had very specific ideas on how we should run the dining room floor. And so everybody was running their own little micro restaurant within this restaurant. And when I came in, I was like, hey guys, maybe we'll do things my way, right? We'll all do things my way and we'll see how it goes. And I'm obviously open to feedback, but at the end of the day, we all need to be rowing in the same direction. And then once I got that buy-in, I held them to it, which is hard to do. And it creates a series of uncomfortable conversations. And you find that great people that did a great job in this organization when it was this way are now flailing or failing in the new organization with the new infrastructure, which I'm sure was not only hard for you, but hard for your leadership team as it came to restructuring and redirecting the behavior of line level employees. How do you deal with that? How do you set them up to have those conversations and to understand the importance of consistent application of standards?
I've always believed, and I tell all of the leaders that I've ever interacted with, that people want to be held accountable, full stop.
Yeah.
And if you do encounter someone who doesn't want to be held accountable, you want to make them a customer as quickly as possible, right? So organizationally, we want to have a group of people that want to be told that they're doing something really well, and they want to be redirected when they're not doing it the way that it should be done. Full stop, right? So inside the organization, being completely transparent that, hey, you're going to get feedback every 30 days. You're going to sit down with your supervisor and they're going to talk about how you're doing, how you're feeling, how the business is, the things that you're doing well, that we want to make sure that we continue to lean in on those things, as well as any opportunities that will make you more effective and more impactful. So again, I go back and I come from the premise and I talk to the ops team and the leadership team all about, we want people who want to be held accountable, right? Because your best performers will become so disenfranchised if we allow someone to behave in a way that isn't to the way that we want things to be done, right? They're only like, I'm having to do twice the work because this guy over here is getting away with something. So we don't think about that at all. And I think that is why we have such unbelievable retention at Protein Bar and depth as an organization, is that we value people's work. And we recognize the people who are doing the best jobs and give them the best opportunities. So to your whole thing, you know, going into a restaurant where everyone's doing their own thing and they all think they have the right way. At the end of the day, the boss needs to stand up and say, listen, I hear all of your different feedback. We've created the illusion of a democracy. This is not a democracy around here, right? Somebody has to be in charge. And I'm going to be in charge. I'll certainly listen to your feedback on ways to make your area of responsibility more impactful and more effective. But at the end of the day, someone has to make the decision and it's going to be me. I think that people react to someone having, for the lack of a better word, courage to say, I'm the one who wants to be ultimately accountable for the success of this whole thing. I need all of your help and buy-in and I want to listen to your thoughts. But at the end of the day, someone's going to have to make a decision. And as the leader of this organization, I'm going to be that person who's going to make that decision.
Something else I want to call out. You keep using the word team again and again and again. And I would argue that the standard in our industry is family. And I've said this 1,000 times on this show and anywhere that people will listen. The idea of a restaurant being a family is poison. We lie to our families. We don't hold our families accountable. Right.
We don't get to pick our family, Josh. We don't get to pick our family. We get to pick our team.
Absolutely. And I think that when you transition from being a family to a high performance team, that accountability is just baked into that. Kobe Bryant, you can argue that he was the greatest player ever or one of the greatest players ever, but you can't argue that he was a pleasure to work with. Same with right. Michael Jordan. Right? Because they held Correct. Themselves to a high standard and they held everyone in their orbit to a high standard. You look at the margin of error in our industry, which is non-existent. And there's this flawed thinking, I think, on the part of some team members that if I do a great job, it's a great restaurant. When that's not true, because every customer is having a different experience, unless they're having the same experience. And so if you're doing a great job, but you're willing to let your teammate flounder and offer a mediocre job, you work in a mediocre restaurant as defined by that person's experience. And so I'm curious to know, are there team building strategies that you've developed over time that you think align people on vision and accountability?
Maybe they're not new ideas to the restaurant industry, but we call our team meetings shift huddles, right? So this is a sports analogy right there, because I think that sports and teams, you gave the Kobe and Michael Jordan analogies, I think those apply in the restaurant space. So we have shift huddles, right? And there are very particular things that we're talking about in the shift huddles, but we're also making sure that we're recognizing in the shift huddle, not only business news, if you will, but we're also acknowledging someone's performance. We want to make sure, I tell everyone, you praise in public. You want other employees to hear that Josh did a spectacular job helping this new customer who'd never been to Protein Bar and Kitchen before navigate. And Josh made sure that they ordered the Mexicali bowl for their first visit, or they wanted a shake, they got a PB&J or Jokes Aside for their first shake, because we know that those items are best in class. People love them. They're our best sellers. So acknowledging and making sure that you're praising very specific actions of other employees in every shift huddle, because you're constantly catching people doing the right thing during your shift, during your day, during the business being open. But getting everyone together, I think the shift huddle is something that really brings the team together in a very specific moment for that shift. We also get together the different, we have what we call team leads at Protein Bar and Kitchen. They're hourly employees that are, some restaurants might call them key holders. They have some management responsibility, but they were most likely an hourly team member that performed at a high level that was interested in potentially getting into a management role. So these team leads are these people that are sort of in between, right? And a lot of organizations get out of balance with these team leads. They give them a lot of responsibility and very little authority. And when someone has a lot of responsibility, very little authority, job dissatisfaction explodes, right? They become very frustrated individuals. And that's something that we work hard at Protein Bar to make sure that these people who are interested in possibly becoming part of the, you know, being a full-time manager are given opportunities where they get together collectively for team lead meetings on a quarterly basis. So all the team leads from the different restaurants get together in a room, and there's some developmental stuff, there's some business update stuff, but really we spend some time on doing some interpersonal development for them, coaching an employee to getting them back on the right track, having that conversation with someone who came in late and making sure that you're giving them the reasons of what happened, how we're going to fix it, how much time they have to fix it, and what the consequences are. So investing in some of these different folks in the organization that I think other companies may overlook or not necessarily focus in on, and getting them together in a room because they have shared experiences, right? And making sure that you're bringing people together to talk about their shared experience at Protein Bar and Kitchen, which strengthens the team environment, I believe, and also obviously elevates the organization overall.
So I want to go back to the two customer types from the very beginning of the conversation. The one that, that kind of walked out and goes, oh, well, you know, it, everything tastes the same, but I don't want to die, so I'll continue eating here. And then the other person that was like, oh my God, this is amazing. We talked about messaging to your team, but you also have to message to those two groups, as well as the people that have never heard from you. And again, this is during a period of great change. It's not like you closed all of the restaurants, reopened them 24 months later is a new concept. These things are evolving and changing in real time. And for some, it's a pleasant surprise. And for some, I'm sure it triggered abject rage. And you've got to figure out how to sell the vision to both of those people. So I think that marketing aside, right, you had to give your leaders and your line level employees the language to explain what was happening over the course of the next 2 years. What did that language look like? And how did you build the confidence in them to share it? Because again, it's one of the only industries there is where most of the feedback is coming from someone who is standing 3 inches from your face.
Yes. So as we were going through a lot of this change in this evolution, I really wanted to empower and talked about getting to yes for the guests, right? So we still have on all of our POS systems, a tab that's called Underground Menu. And if we have the ingredients and somebody's been ordering this thing since 2010, and we can still do it, we'll still do it. We still have the build charts for it. We can still execute against it, right? So we'll get to yes. But a lot of it was about, we made some changes to the menu, and a lot of the guests just wanted to understand why we made the change and what their option was, right? So we gave the employees, like, this isn't on the menu anymore. We've made some improvements to it, and it's now expressed in this way. 9 out of 10 guests are like, oh, that's great. I'll just go that direction. But for the one who just wanted it the way that they've always gotten it. And if we still had all the ingredients, we would get them that shake or that bowl or that salad or that wrap that they really wanted. In the rare occasion where the ingredient had been discontinued or it just wasn't right for the space or for our business, we empowered and we gave these team members a lot of different options. I would say that that was such a very small number because we did. I was very conscious in instilling change and elevating culinary that I wasn't taking anything away while I was making things better. That makes sense. The silly story that I'll go into is the very first menu item that Matt put on the menu for food was quinoa, was called the Black Bean Bowl. The Black Bean Bowl, it's not on our menu in the restaurants. It's still available on the app, and it's still on the underground menu. But the Black Bean Bowl was as basic as you get. It was quinoa, chicken, black beans, salsa, cheddar cheese, Black Bean Bowl. And for that Black Bean Bowl, Matt seasoned the chicken with paprika. Fine. You've got all those different things, the paprika seasoned chicken. Great, inside that bowl. Well, what happened as they were building the menu out, the chickens kept the paprika. So it was paprika chicken. So when people told me in 2016, 2017, when I was getting ready to start with this company, that everything tastes the same, it was because a lot of people were ordering the chicken and they tasted paprika. And it didn't matter if the paprika was in a Caesar salad or a spinach and pesto bowl or the black bean bowl. Everything did taste the same because we had this paprika chicken, right? So we made the change. We took the paprika off the chicken. We added cracked black pepper, a little sea salt, a little olive oil. And all of a sudden, our chicken started tasting like chicken. We didn't tell anyone we did it, but people just noticed, wow, this just tastes better, right? Just like psychologically, it tastes better. So a lot of the change that we made early on was just adding some certain things to it. The other example I will give you is for the first 7 years that we served quinoa at Protein Bar, we didn't put any salt with the quinoa. We cooked this quinoa in water. Now, everyone knows you cook pasta, rice, quinoa. You have to add a little salt to the water to enhance the flavor to make the quinoa or the rice or the pasta taste like itself as a flavor enhancer. But they were so worried about sodium that they didn't want to have the sodium associated with the quinoa. I said, well, listen, what we'll do is we'll find a low sodium black bean and we'll do swaps, right? So we'll swap out the sodium in the black beans, add a little salt to the quinoa so the quinoa tastes better, tastes delicious. And so those are the types of things that we were doing early on, so the first 3 months of really working on the menu, and very careful not to add any complexity to the menu. I didn't want people's jobs to get harder while all this change was going on. I was fortunate there were some sort of basic, easy things to do, but we did those things in a way that sort of built credibility with everyone in the organization, as well as the customers coming in the door, so that as we began to start making more significant changes, we'd already sort of built credibility, like, yeah, this guy seems to know what he's doing and his changes seem to make sense. So I'm going to buy in, right? So you have to have some early wins. And we had some early wins with both guests and team members that sort of launched the rest of the changes that we layered on as we went down the road.
I want to round out the conversation with a high level question. And the restaurant industry is filled with unspoken rules and traditions about how things should be done. How would you like to see our industry turn the tables to create a better future for all of us?
So I think that forever, people have associated with value with the cost of the item, as opposed to the experience that's associated with that item and the ingredients that are going into that item. Value and price, I think, are something that has restricted the restaurant industry in a way that has been frustrating for a variety of people. And we sort of have gotten a bad reputation because of low pay and all those types of things for the folks that work for us. At Protein Bar, we don't have anybody who makes minimum wage at Protein Bar Kitchen. If you're good enough to join our team, you're going to be making more than the minimum wage of Chicago. And we're in a very, what's considered a high minimum wage city in the Chicagoland area and in Illinois. And so I think that the restaurant industry needs to do a better job of conveying, and I don't have the solution, I'm just simply addressing the problem, is that we need to do a better job of conveying what value means to what the value that we're providing and how the guests can understand that value. There are certain restaurants out there that are straight fuel, right? You go there, it's very inexpensive, and you eat and you feel satiated. Maybe it's not the best experience for you health-wise, but you feel satiated and you're on with your day. in restaurants like Protein Bar, in the better for you space, and people who are being a little bit more thoughtful about how we get our ingredients and how we're treating our ingredients and how we empower and treat our employees, there should be a better recognition of the consumer, of the value that we're delivering. And I think as an industry, we need to do a better job of collectively conveying the value that we're providing. So it's always been sort of a frustration of mine. I'm very passionate about the restaurant industry. I understand that there's certain people who are just here on their way to doing something else, which is fantastic. We want those people on their way to being an actor or a writer or go to law school or whatever it may be, right? We embrace those people. We need those people to keep the pool fresh. But there's also a lot of people who are incredibly passionate about the hospitality industry, about food, and giving them a sense of career path and making them feel really proud that they've chosen this industry from a global perspective is something I think as collectively we could all work on doing a better job of conveying.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins, and the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie, and Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Jeff Drake. For more information on Protein Bar and Kitchen, visit theproteinbar.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Koppel. You've been listening to Full Comp.